Well, I am thankful this morning for the personal touch of Jesus in my life. Amen. We're a blessed people today because of that. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for Calvary, for the Son of God who is willing to come down and give His life for the very ones that He created. That's quite a sacrifice. And He called each one of our names and gave every one of us opportunity to enjoy the blessings of salvation. And so that means me, and it means you, and we're blessed because of it. Amen. I'm thankful to be here today. Count it a blessing to see you all again. Trust you're encouraged in the Lord. We want to make it to heaven today, don't we? If we miss heaven, then all else is in vain. That's what it's all about, is being part of the family of God, and I don't want to get distracted. I don't want to allow the enemy to dim my spiritual vision to the place that I miss being part of God's family and miss out on the wonderful salvation. So let's be encouraged this morning to give our whole heart and life to the Lord. I'd like to consider this morning the importance of facing uncomfortable places in our lives, ourselves, facing ourselves. And I'd like to start in the book of Jonah. Now, Jonah, sometimes it's kind of hard to find. Jonah follows Amos and Obadiah. Comes right before, I think, Micah. Comes right before Micah. So it's right at the end of the Old Testament. It's just a couple of pages long. In the first chapter of Jonah, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up against me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. So then they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? Where do you come from? Where is your country? And what people are you of? And he said, I'm an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, and then the sea will be calm. Well, the men didn't want to throw him into the sea, so they tried to row harder and figure out how they could try to get through this without throwing Jonah into the sea. Have you ever wondered why Jonah said, You guys pick me up and throw me into the sea? Why didn't he just jump in himself? I always wondered that. We might come back to that in a minute, but they weren't able to get the sea to calm down with Jonah in the boat. So they threw Jonah overboard, and there was a fish, there was an alive submarine that was there to pick up Jonah and whisk him away, and the sea calmed down, and it said that the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. None of this would have happened if Jonah wouldn't have fled from the Lord.
That's right.
Right? None of this would have taken place. We would have had quite the same story to read if Jonah wouldn't have fled from the presence of the Lord. Have you ever wondered why Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. Have you looked into Nineveh very much? Nineveh was not the place where you would probably choose to take an anniversary trip. All right? If you weren't from Nineveh, that's not probably the place you'd want to go for a special outing. The Ninevites, they were some bad folks. Those people were known, I've read in more than one place, those folks were could be some of the cruelest people around. They figured out some pretty bloody and cruel ways to visit destruction upon people that they were not in agreement with. And so if Jonah were to go to Nineveh and tell the Ninevites, you all are a bunch of sinners and you are very displeasing to God, and if you all don't change your ways, God's going to destroy this city. Well, if he would have done that, no doubt Jonah knew that he would have been risking a life-altering situation for himself had he done that. And then there's this other piece of it that, you know, Jonah, if you read in the fourth chapter of Jonah, he kind of tells God why he ran away from God in the first place. Jonah was a Hebrew. Jonah was referred to, I believe, in 2 Kings, even before you get to Jonah, he was a prophet to Israel. The Israelites were his people. And no doubt, the Ninevites probably, I don't know, but they were bad folks. They were not Israelites. Jonah was part of the chosen people. Nineveh were people that did very bad things to people. And I don't know, who knows, maybe they even killed some of the people that Jonah knew. I don't know, but Jonah did not seem like he'd be happy for Nineveh to be destroyed. That's what it looked like. He was sorry when the Lord forgave him. He didn't want a life-altering situation to happen for the Ninevites. He'd just soon them be destroyed. And he knew that God was a God of mercy, and he was almost afraid that God was going to have mercy on them, and so he fled. So for a couple of reasons, Jonah fled the presence of the Lord. And the Scripture tells us that Jonah went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. And he headed off from the presence of the Lord. Out of sight, out of mind, no more responsibility, right? Well, not exactly. That's not what happened, because the Lord went after Jonah. And so Jonah got on this ship, and he's headed off, supposedly away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord came after him. And so there's this big storm that came up. And all of the men on the ship, well, their lives are at stake now because of Jonah, by the way. And they're trying to call upon all of their gods. It didn't say that they called upon their God. It said that every man called upon their own God. So I don't know if they were people from different places, maybe they had different gods, but right now, all these people were unified because their lives were at stake. They were just trying to survive. And then the shipmaster goes down while they're all trying to survive, and here's Jonah down there, the whole cause of the problem, and he's sleeping. Now, that must have been quite a sleep. I mean, the ship is going everywhere. The wind's blowing, the waves are up, and Jonah's asleep. I don't know if he was really tired. I don't know. He was fleeing from the Lord, and he was down there asleep. And so the shipmaster comes down there and says, "What are you doing down here? What meanest thou, O sleeper?" Well, I don't think he said that in a very endearing way. They're trying to save their lives, and Jonah's sleeping. What are you doing down here? You need to come up here. You need to pray to your God, because we need to see if we can't get out of this alive. And so the story goes that Jonah, he comes up, and the truth came out. They ended up casting lots, which is something they did or could do back then. And the Lord had something to do with their casting of lots that day, because they fell upon Jonah. And so they turned upon Jonah, and the truth came out. And he told them, "Well, this is who I am. I'm fleeing from the presence of the very one who the water. And he said, so you go ahead and throw me overboard because I'm the cause of this problem. And so eventually they threw him overboard, as we just read. And the fish was there to swallow Jonah, and the waves ceased. Have you ever been in the belly of a fish? Well, I haven't. I don't really want to be in the belly of a fish either. But I have this memory. I must have seen a storybook when I was really young of this story about Jonah and the fish. And I still have this picture implanted in my mind of Jonah sitting in this big cavern with kind of this raft that was made and a lantern hanging on the wall, and there was kind of water all around him, and he looked pretty distressed. I don't think Jonah had a raft. I don't think there was a lantern hanging in the belly of the fish. I don't think that it was just his toes dangling in the water. I think it was a very unpleasant place to be.
Yes, sir.
I believe it was dark. It was wet. It was uncomfortable. And, you know, I know that the Lord was the one that had control of the fish, but I wonder if the fish always swam right side up. Or I wonder if there were times that the fish, you know, moved around a little bit. Kind of gave Jonah some of the same dose that the men on the boat were getting, only a little bit worse. You know, and pressure control. You know, I remember one time I went down pretty deep in water, and I got about 12 to 15 feet trying to get down to about 60, and about 12 to 15 feet my ears started hurting really bad because there's this thing about pressure that causes a problem. Well, I don't know how deep the water here was, but it was a pretty big fish, and I know the Lord was controlling all of this, but my point to all of this was not a pleasant place to be in the middle of a fish. But you know what? God was there with him. You see, the Lord met Jonah in the belly of this fish. And Jonah did business with God in the belly of that fish. In the midst of all of that, you know, there were probably other things in that fish besides Jonah. Some of them may be dead, and some of them may be getting ready to die. And they're all in close proximity. And I have an idea that Jonah started thinking in terms of more than just what he was going to do next week. You know, now this is serious business. I could die here pretty quick. Jonah didn't go down there having the luxury of having read the story of Jonah and knowing that he was going to come out alive. For all he knew, this was the beginning of the end of Jonah. And so now it's serious business. But God met him there, and Jonah got to the place where the Lord wanted Jonah to be, and the Lord gave Jonah another chance.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. Thankful that he gave Jonah another chance, and I'm thankful for the Ninevites that Jonah was given another chance. Because we find out that the fish spit Jonah back up on dry land, and Jonah went and preached to the Ninevites, and you know what? They repented. That wicked city that was known for doing the very basest things, even worse than that. The Lord cared about them.
Amen.
And the Lord sent a man and didn't give up quickly on Nineveh. He went to some length to get his word to Nineveh, all the way from taking a man, speaking to him, and when the man ran away, put the man in a fish, and then brought the man out of the fish, and then finally got to send him to Nineveh, all the while sparing Nineveh. And then when Jonah came and preached the gospel message, when the Ninevites had nothing to give in exchange for repentance, for all the cruel things they had done, God was willing to forgive them. And He did. Well, here's the question and the challenge that I have this morning. I wonder if we ever flee from the presence of God and from those cities that we would rather not face in our own lives. We're Jonah and the city of Nineveh, let's say, all in one. Are there places in your own life that maybe the Lord comes and speaks to us about, that He wants us to go to and visit and spend a little time? Maybe the Lord has the truth of the Word, that the light of the Word that He'd like to bring to us in that place of our life, that city of our life, that space that we would rather not go to. You know, there are certain places in our lives that if we address, we view them as life, potentially life-altering situations. And we don't want those changes to happen. And so we avoid going to those places in our lives. Have you ever had any of those? You're human, so I suspect that you have. I'm not saying that maybe it means that everybody's wicked in every area of their life and that we're all like the people of Nineveh. I hope that's not where I am this morning. And I don't think that it is. But, you know, sometimes there can be a little place in our life where there's a little pride. A little room. A little section of our life that the Lord would like us to go to. Or perhaps there's a little worldly-mindedness somewhere in our lives that's wrapped up somewhere. Perhaps we have an addiction in a secret place that no one else knows about, or maybe they do know about. But it's a place we would rather avoid going. Maybe there's some selfishness that we have in our hearts and in our lives somewhere. And the Lord would like us to recognize, you're being selfish right here, Rod. I'd like you to go and open this door and take the Word of God to it and expose it and do something about this. But we would rather not deal with that. So we flee somewhere else and try to get away from the presence of the Lord. There's a lot of things that we could think about. Some people have maybe a controlling nature about themselves. A little bit of a controller. And maybe the Lord wants to deal with you about that. A sharp tongue. You know, some people have kind of sharp tongues. And it's like, well, that's just how I am. Well, the Lord liked to change who you are. You know, there's places in our lives that we don't like to acknowledge and we'd rather run away from it because maybe it's where we're comfortable. Maybe it's the place that we would like to be and we're afraid to bring that before the Almighty God. But I'm struck with the fact here that the Lord cared enough about the Ninevites that even in their great wickedness, He was willing to go to great lengths to help them. Yeah. And I want to say this morning, the Lord is willing to go to great lengths to help you. In those cities, in those places, in those spaces of your life that maybe for years you've run away from, maybe you haven't wanted to acknowledge it. You know, a lot of times everybody else knows about it. It'd be just as well for you to acknowledge it too. But we like to run away from it because we don't want to change in that area. Maybe it's something we're holding on to that we like. And we're afraid that if we expose it to the truth, it might mean that we have to change course. And we just don't want to do that. But the Lord cared enough about the Ninevites to get them to a better place. And the Lord cares enough about me and enough about you to go to great lengths to help you in those places of your life that you would rather avoid. Thank the Lord for that. But here's our responsibility. Our responsibility is that we have to come and face it. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is the Lord wants us to take Him by the hand and lead Him to the door that's locked. And He wants us to unlock the door and open it up and say, This is me, Lord. You know, sometimes you buy used cars and it says sold as is. You know, that means you get it just like it is. And if there's a problem with it, this is it. We're not trying to cover it up. This is it. Well, sometimes they try to cover it up and want to sell it as is. The Lord wants us to open ourselves up and acknowledge where we are, who we are. Lord, this is me. Not going to try to cover it up anymore. This is the place, Lord, where I am. That's what God wants us to do. That's our responsibility, is to come and fully expose ourselves to truth. Well, a lot of times we're afraid to do that because, as we've already mentioned, the consequences that may be associated with that. But as an aside, I just want to say this. There's consequences that go along with not exposing it too. The belly of a fish comes to mind. I have never been in the belly of a fish, but I don't want the Lord to have to put me in the belly of a fish to get me to the point that I need to get to save my eternal soul. That was God's mercy that He did that to Jonah. That was God's mercy that He did that for the Ninevites. And you know what? Sometimes we can save ourselves a lot of trouble in this life if we'll just address our issues head on with the Lord. Because you see, the Lord loves you so much. He doesn't want us to have to bear the consequences in eternity of allowing things that aren't right in our lives. And when we first turn away from the Lord and we head off to Tarshish, you know, in a ship that the enemy so conveniently always provides, when we're ready to run, the enemy's ready to give us a ship. You know, it seems like there's always a ship right there waiting for us. You know, wow, what a coincidence. Maybe this was God. Maybe He was the one wanting me to flee. No, the enemy often is there to provide us a way to flee from the presence of the Lord. That always happens. But there's consequences to doing that. And we can save ourselves a lot of trouble in life because the Lord doesn't want you to bear the ultimate consequence. So He'll go to great lengths sometimes to put you in a pretty tough spot because we're just not willing to acknowledge it when things aren't so tough. You following me? Lord says, He didn't hear me the first time. I spoke to Him the second time. If He would have just opened Himself up, we could have dealt with this. But He's not. So now I'm going to have to get this person in a really low spot. And now you're going to have to deal with different variations of the belly of the fish in life. Sometimes unnecessarily, see? Be willing to open yourselves up. And I want to say this too. We don't live unto ourselves, folks. When we ignore the needs that we have in life, we are affecting not only ourselves, but other people. Other people bear the consequences of selfishness and a sharp tongue and addictions and worldly-mindedness and pride and whatever, what you fill in the blank. Other people have to bear the consequences of that. The people on that ship that Jonah went on. You say, well, they lived, they didn't die. Yeah, but they lost some things. You remember when they were throwing their stuff overboard in the ship to try to make it lighter, and it was all because of Jonah? I don't know if they got all that stuff back. But they lost something that day. And people will lose things in life. People's lives will be less fulfilled when we don't address the needs in our own lives. And you know who often bears the consequence of that most of the time? It's the people that you love the most. It's the people that are closest to you. It's the people that maybe live in the same house that you do. Or they go to the same church that you go to. Those are the people. I don't want to be that kind of a weight on my family and my friends and those that I worship with. There's consequences associated with that. And in the end, I don't want to be lost in eternity. And so I want to be challenged for my own life. I want to be willing to open myself up before the Lord and go and acknowledge these things in my life, wherever those cities or spaces are. And the wonderful truth is that God doesn't send us to these difficult places alone. He was with Jonah in the belly of the fish. He went to Nineveh with Jonah. He was there to try to help. He'll do the heavy lifting. But He just wants us to be willing to go there. There's a passage in 2 Chronicles. I want to read it quickly in the 20th chapter. 2 Chronicles in the 20th chapter is the story of Jehoshaphat. And the 15th verse, see, they had enemies coming after them and they were afraid. And Jehoshaphat was afraid. But the Lord told him, He said, don't be afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, because the battle's not yours, it's God's. And He went on and He told him, He said, in the 17th verse, you won't have to fight in this battle. But He told them, but you still need to go down there. Set yourself. Go face the enemy and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's what they did. They went down there. They had to face the enemy, but the Lord fought the battle. But notice the Lord didn't say, hey, y'all go hide behind a tree somewhere and I'll tell you when it's safe to come out. I'll handle this battle for you. You guys hide from it. Go to sleep somewhere. Go find somewhere in the bottom part of a ship and go to sleep. And in the meantime, I'll take care of it and I'll come knock on your door and you can come out when it's all over with. That's not what He did. He told them, He said, hey, don't be dismayed. Don't be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. You know, sometimes we can be almost dismayed when we think very long about some of our own personal needs. Because it just seems bigger than we are. And you know what? It might be. Might be bigger than you are. That's why we have Jesus. That's why we have the Lord. And folks, this is not just a theory. It's really, you know, some say, well, preacher, it's easy to stand up there and talk about, you know, that Jesus provides power and strength, but I got real issues in my life, and these are real things, and y'all don't understand that Jesus came to deal with real issues. And there's many, many multitudes of people with testimonies that had real life issues, just like the ones that you may have in your life that you'd like to shut the door to, that was willing to open the door and the Lord came in and took care of those issues.
That's right.
Because they were willing to humble themselves and be intellectually honest with themselves and say, come in, Lord, I got a need right here. I need help. And these people, He told them, I'll fight this battle for you, but you still have to go down and face it. That's our responsibility. God wants us to be open about it, to go and face it. Sometimes we have to fight harder than other times. These people went down there and they didn't even have to lift a hand. They started singing and praising the Lord, and the Lord took care of the battle, and they didn't even have to fight Him. There are times where the Lord will step in those difficult places in your life, and He'll do things that will just amaze you. It's like He took the addiction away. I don't even crave it anymore. There might be other times where you have to put a little effort there. And then the Lord will honor that and give you the help that you need. Or whether it's a sharp tongue or selfishness or pride or whatever it is. Sometimes we humble ourselves and we say, Lord, I have a need and this is what it is. The Lord honors that when we do that. We cannot run from the Lord and come out better because of it. But we can run to the Lord with the needs that we have. And by His power, we can come out better for it. I want to remind you of Psalms 32 and 5. Psalms 32 and 5 says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Proverbs 28 goes along with it. 28 and 13 says here, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That includes me and it includes you. The city of Nineveh, what happened to them? Well, they heeded the word of the Lord. They listened. Jonah didn't think they were going to. Maybe. I don't know. But they did, and they were forgiven, and God had mercy on them. And God will have mercy on us just like He did then. Yes, sometimes we're ashamed to bring before the Lord those ugly places in our lives. Well, if I acknowledge this before the Lord, then He might recognize that this is in my life. And then He won't think as well of me as He did yesterday. Well, the Lord already knows about it. You can't hide it from the Lord. The Lord already knows your need better than you do. The enemy says, well, don't get too out there with that, because then you might not be saved if you're too open about that, because that doesn't qualify you for being saved. Well, the Lord already knows about that too. You are who you are. And the Lord came to help us in the place that we are. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the unrighteous. He came to bring forgiveness and help. And it's not that we're all in just an unrighteous place. Sometimes the Lord, what I mean is being willingly sinful in our lives. We can be Christians, saved, living for the Lord, but there might be a place that the Lord has for us to increase in Him that we just might be afraid of. We may not want to acknowledge it. And the Lord's saying, hey, open it up. I know about it. Might as well go into this together. That's why Jesus came. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, sometimes we have places in our lives that they just nag at us. Have you ever had those? Maybe you can't just say it's sin. Maybe there's no scripture and verse that says this is a sin and you're not saved because of this. But maybe it's something that just nags at you, but you don't want to deal with it too front on because you're kind of afraid of where it might go. Jesus says, come. Come unto me. All you that labor. You laboring with that? Well, come unto me. You heavy laden? I'll give you rest. I can help you with that. Let's purpose in our hearts never to run away from the scary places in our lives. Let's purpose in our hearts not to run away from the uncomfortable places in our lives. Let's just get them open before the Lord. And take advantage of the exhortation in Isaiah where He said, come, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Yes. Remember that verse? Though your sins, what does it say? Be like
scarlet.
They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Well, how did He start that verse? He said, come, let us reason together. The Lord wants to sit down. He's a God He's a merciful God. He's a realistic God. He's the one that created us. And He's inviting us, come on, let's do this together. Let's sit down and reason. Let's talk about it. You tell me how you feel. I'll talk to you about the better place that I'd like you to be. And I'll give you the help that you need. That's the God that we serve. Come, let's reason together. I can help you out in these places. And then He promises us the first part of Isaiah, if ye be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you'll be willing and obedient, it's our choice today whether or not we're going to run from these places or avoid them. It's your choice. I mean, you can choose to continue to keep the door shut and avoid it and keep living as if everything's okay, like, you know, you're asleep to it, kind of like Jonah was in the bottom of the ship. He was asleep. He was asleep to everything that was going on that was the consequence of his behavior. We can go through life and be asleep to these places if we want. Or we can say, Lord, I'm willing to open myself up to you. Lord, I want to get this out in the open. Lord, would you come into this room with me? And maybe it's not as bad as I thought it was. You know, sometimes that's the case. The Lord gives us additional spiritual light. Other times it's worse than we thought it was. But the Lord says, but I have an answer for you. I want to go this morning where the Lord asks me to go. I want to be willing, and I want to be obedient. And I don't want to be afraid of the Lord in those areas of my lives that maybe I'm afraid of. Sometimes we have areas in our lives that we ourselves are just afraid of having to address for all the things we talked about. You don't have to be afraid of them with the Lord because He loves you. He cares about us. He has a vested interest in your victory because He gave His life on the cross. I want to tell you something. If you went through what Jesus went through, if you were whipped like He was whipped and shed the blood that He shed, you know, you can read the account of the crucifixion, and I'm always struck in this one of the Gospels that said, and they scourged Him and then took Him into the hall to be tried. You know, they said it really fast. But I want to tell you something, it didn't feel very fast to Jesus when He was being scourged. If you had gone through something like that and then were crucified on a cross and had nails pounded through you, and then couldn't breathe because you couldn't hold yourself up. That's the whole design of the cross, you know. And then they break your knees and then you couldn't hold yourself up. And that's how they ended up killing them. If you had gone through all of that so that people that were in sin could be saved, don't you think you'd want to take advantage of that high price that you just paid? The Lord wants to take advantage of the price that He paid for you. Yes, you don't have something to give Him in exchange of equal in exchange for what He does for us. I don't have anything to give Him except for my love. Lord, here I am. The Lord wants to take advantage of the price He paid for you. And today I want to be willing to open myself before the Lord, not be afraid of those places. Here am I, Lord. I want to be willing. I want to be obedient. And I want to go wherever He wants me to go in my own life and deal with whatever it is, knowing that the Lord loves me, He cares for me, and He'll do whatever He can do to see me in a better place. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.